Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. My name is Chris Evans, and this is episode 29 of the COVID Chronicles. Today, my guest is Kay Roper, the executive director of the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for being here. It's been a while.
It has. It has. I love, well, seeing you is not what's happening right now, but talking
it's not,
with you.
But we've reconnected after a fashion.
Yes, we have, and it's great to hear you're doing well in this crazy new world we're in, but thriving, it sounds like.
Yes, and again, you are the executive director of the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance. Tell me, I'm just going to start with a question. You've heard it before because you've been on the program before, but I like to let you introduce yourself to the audience. What do you do and who do you do it for? Tell us about the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance.
Well, thank you. And we do laugh about the executive director title. My fellow nonprofit compatriots in the area, we talk about being an executive director who is responsible for everything and maybe not in control of too much these days.
Well, yeah, certainly circumstances these days have put a damper on the things that people can do, especially as far as nonprofits are concerned. And we're going to talk about that. But tell us what Cancer Survivors Park Alliance does.
Absolutely. Well, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we designed, funded, built, and donated the beautiful 6.8-acre park that is now along the Swamp Rabbit Trail in downtown Greenville. I think you've been there between Church Street and Cleveland Street.
Yep.
But we do a lot more than that. Our mission is to change the way we live with cancer, to enhance the lives of those that are living with it and affected by it by connecting them with each other, with other survivors. And you might remember that we define survivorship as certainly the moment that someone is diagnosed, the patient is what most people are familiar with, that person who is battling cancer. And then everyone that is on that journey with that survivor, with that patient, whether they, you know, the family, the mother, daughter, spouse, sister, friend even.
Right.
You know, we used to joke that our president, Tom Bates, used to say that about, you know, 8 out of 10 people are affected by cancer. But when you look at that diagnosis, to even include those who have passed away, Chris, you remember my sister died at a young age of 38 with two little babies and young children, but that you survived, that they lived. So that definition, Tom Bates will say now, and I agree, that probably 10 out of 10 people are touched by cancer. And we do, you know, we do programs. We did pre-COVID. We had a lot of programs in the park. We connected with services and agencies that do it so well. And we're getting back into that. I know we'll talk about that a little more, but we're getting back into repurposing what we do because COVID has made it so much harder. But you know, there've been some glimmers of hope and some new things we're trying, which are nice too. So in a nutshell, we are a very passionate group of volunteers and board members. We have a small staff of two. My associate director, Laura Coleman Nichols, and I do try to keep us going during this crazy time, but very fortunate to literally thousands of people who we do hear from.
Well, and that's one of the things that I've always loved about the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance is your view on survivorship. You say the term cancer survivor, and a lot of people will think of people who have had cancer and it didn't kill them. They have, you know, they've gone through treatment or something and it's in remission, or they've, you know, had surgery and got it removed or something like that. And those are the cancer survivors. But you expand that definition, and I really like the perspective that the people who live on after, you know, somebody else has had cancer, even if they didn't have the cancer themselves, they are surviving that cancer victim.
Yes. And that has broadened our reach, Chris, so much. I hear probably once a week, if not sometimes once a day, when people are like, gosh, I really didn't realize that I'm a survivor. My mother died. You know, an example is our survivor series stories that I know we've talked about before. It's an intimate black and white sharing of photographs and stories of survivors. And that started 7 years ago with a photographer who I just ran into accidentally, and his mother had died. He never saw himself or his father or family as survivors. And when we started talking, he was like, oh my gosh, you have just helped me and my family try to make something, you know, even okay with this. Because there's a lot of energy, as there should be, to kicking this disease to the curb, and that is first and foremost what we want to do.
Well, and I like it because it's inclusive. It's, you know, the Cancer Survivors Park is not just for the people who had cancer and then beat it. It's for everybody else that was affected by that. It's not for the people who just had cancer exclusively. It's for everybody inclusively that was affected by those trials.
Amen. That is so true. And with us being this first signature project, which was building the Cancer Survivors Park, which is downtown on the Swamp Rabbit Trail, that was our first program. And being inclusive for the public, we are even now, every day, talk about it, that we're trying to be inclusive, that it affects everybody. And so many friends of mine that have recovered from cancer, even when they have that last treatment, this is one way to look at it, they leave, they ring that bell, they're done, and then there's that fear, now what?
Yeah.
Now I'm done. My doctor's not following me anymore. Where do I go? So our park is offering programs and connecting and even building programs now in the COVID world that we can connect them with what, so what is now? You know, how do you deal with that fear or the compassion? Support groups are a big part of it. Getting, being, I guess,
sort of
having better nutrition.
A safe haven for those people that are in that situation.
Absolutely. And then, of course, I've said this before to you, but my mother, when my sister died, she was 38 years old, and Mom was like, she didn't survive. This is, what do you mean, survivors? When I told her I was working for the Survivors Park. And then when I shared with her that her three-year-old little girl and 8-year-old little boy that were left behind, I said, Mom, we will carry on her legacy. We survived her life, her memory, and gosh, that's been almost 10 years ago. I can't believe that, Chris. And we talk about how she did live and how vibrant she was, and we educate. So the survivor story continues, and we see a lot of people in the park who will come and buy little plaques. They're $100 little plaques, but they'll come and they say they like to go there instead of the graveyard to remember their family, and they celebrate what they did.
Yeah. Speaking of the ago times and the long before, how is the park doing? I know that if memory serves, when you and I first talked, the first conversation that we had, you were just starting construction on the park itself, and I think had just built the little footbridge, the walkway down from Church Street, and now the park has been completed, if I remember correctly, for a couple of years, I think. Tell us how it's going.
There you go. That's what you can help me share that's not done, because that's...
Oh,
that's
it's not done. Okay.
Example. That's it, and that's what's so exciting.
I think opened
now.
is probably
yes,
the... I remember the
right,
grand opening.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there was an opening, and gosh, that was in 2018, June 2018. And how that came about is in really back in 2013, I was hired to design the park. Well, I didn't really design it. We had a whole team, but to fundraise for the park.
Right.
So that's what we did. We got together, and we had a group that tried to fundraise for this park. It was a $4.5 million campaign, and now we have raised $8.5 million and still going. But what happened is we took a 6.8-acre area, and we did physically put the infrastructure in. So the infrastructure was really defined as anything that large cranes had to install, like digging out that old parking
right.
lot. I don't remember where that was. Yeah, and boy, did we run into some craziness with that. There was gasoline spills and DX that we had to spend more money to clean that up.
Wow.
And then the boardwalk, I think you called it the footbridge, but the boardwalk that's up there that connects Church Street to the trail,
right.
that's a 1,000-foot bridge that the city of Greenville said that they would help us with if we did it, and if we built it. And they, so they did give us some support for that. But unfortunately, the support they gave us was about half of what it ended up costing, because the boardwalk, you might know, is up elevated in the tree canopy.
Right.
And it's beautiful. It's the only elevated boardwalk of its kind in Greenville, and the tree's that high. But we hit rock, Chris. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
What was supposed to take, 2 hours to build, one section took like 30 hours. So so those kind of things just plagued the building of the park and took up some of our funding to get it to the point where we could open it, in June of 18. But there's so much more planned, so much more exciting things. I don't know if you saw, we put in a sculpture about a month ago, and we have 5 more sculptures that are going to be put in the park. The one that was put in about a month ago is called Tom's Hat, honoring a past member of our group, Tom Keith, but he was a landscape architect who was responsible for Falls Park as well, by the way, and worked with some fabulous parks in Greenville. And so we're slowly putting more meaningful and purposeful things in the park, and even under the bridges. If you've been down there, Chris, under the Church Street Bridge and the Clinton Street Bridge.
Not recently, but...
That's right, probably not out, but they look pretty yucky right now. There's a big, they're kind of dark, and there's a big dirt bank on one side. So there are plans to make that better. We are working with the city of Greenville to do lighting, which is great. But we do have some funding challenges to, you know, finish some of that up.
Well, as a lot of not-for-profits do, that leads into, you know, kind of what's been going on. I mean, you're on the COVID Chronicles, a special presentation of the of Focus on the Upstate.
I love it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I came up with that name back in March when I was first asked to do this. Yes. special feature, and that was the first thing that occurred to me, and it stuck, and I like it, and everybody else has said they like it, so thank you very much.
I love it. Well, you're chronicling the journey.
Well, that was the idea, you know, is that we want to tell this story of what's going on, especially here in the Upstate as it relates to the Upstate, but something that is affecting, frankly, the entire world. And I want to understand how it has affected the Cancer Survivors Park. It occurs to me that closing down a park is trickier than closing a building. You know, because a building just has a couple of doors to lock, but parks are generally open. You do have a building there, though.
We do, we do. And that, you make a great point. And it's like all these the other things going on in the world, you know, the schools, the businesses, everything, other nonprofits. COVID has stopped a lot of things, but our mission doesn't stop, like with cancer.
Yeah,
you know,
cancer doesn't stop, that's for sure.
I wish it did. I wish it did. Wouldn't that be great if it did? But, yeah, it doesn't. So things keep going on. And our park, we did have to close back last spring. Matter of fact, we were getting ready. I was going to come see you, Chris. You remember back last
I do.
Winter,
we were having a conversation when all of this kicked off. We were having a conversation about you coming on this program to talk about, I think, one of the fundraisers that was coming up, CHOP Greenville?
Yes.
Or CHOP Cancer?
CHOP Cancer. Yeah,
CHOP
it was modeled after that.
The TV show Chopped.
Chopped,
yeah.
Yes, yes, and we, about 5 years ago, this was going to be our fifth annual one. We had a lot of fun things planned, and the 18 celebrity chefs had been chosen back in the fall of 2019. They'd been fundraising. They had been putting together recipes that were cancer-fighting, and, you know, we have 500 people plus. They would just, you know, be spilling out over into the room.
Right.
And so much fun, but that's why we had to cancel it. There was no way we could have that event and feel comfortable that we could 100% protect
right.
our clientele. So, and that was really, really hard.
When was it scheduled for originally?
March 20th.
Right at the beginning of...
yes.
Okay.
And we really struggled because I will never forget my board. We were like, okay, is this real? Is this a pandemic?
Yeah.
Is it really a pandemic? I mean, we were really on the cusp of it, of what we knew. I mean, I understand now they think it started way before that, but for what we knew locally,
yeah.
right? And so we made, I think, the right decision and said, we can't do this. We let all of our chefs know. They were so disappointed. They wanted to do their part. But we did a survey because many of our chefs were survivors and in treatment. And they said, well, let's wait. Surely by early fall or late summer, this will be fine. So
right.
they all voted. Our board agreed. We had a second date, Chris, for August the 28th. And we kind of used another great organization in town here, the Artisphere Group, as a litmus test because they
sure,
were planning
yeah.
to do their event, you know, the weekend before that. And I said, oh, great. Well, they'll have their event, and we'll promote ours, and we'll be next. Well, you know what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it kept getting closer and closer, and the world went upside down, and we really took it all the way into June and then decided, okay, we have to make a decision. And we called our production company and our event coordinators and said, help us. And, of course, they had not done this before either.
Right.
And
yeah, so, nobody has.
So we did come up with an alternative that honestly was wonderful. Our model is such that a lot of the money and the funding came in early. So we did meet almost 90% of our goal before we even held our virtual
wow,
event.
That's good.
And it was great. And we struggled because it would have been best if we didn't have to do anything virtually at all. And we did reach out to our patrons and our supporters and our sponsors. They were amazing. And we said, you have the option. We will give you your money back, or we would really love and need your support. 99% of them let us keep even their ticket money, Chris. It was
wow.
so humbling. And but we felt like we had to hold something virtually because we had a silent auction.
Sure.
We had some really nice items, and we wanted to honor those chefs who had done some amazing videos that I can share with you. Well, I guess radio, they can't see it, can they? They can go to the website. We'll tell them to go to the website.
Yes.
And actually they can, and they just worked so hard. And but we did have some expenses incurred in that, and we were about 90% of our goal. We usually go to about 120% over the goal. We have a conservative goal, but the night of the event is a silent auction. And, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes a little peer pressure, maybe a little alcohol every now and then does increase some of the spending. And so we looked at all kinds of ways we could do that, but it didn't make sense. But the virtual event was fun. We were able to celebrate what the cooks had done, and we shared their videos. We had some very touching stories of people in cancer, fighting cancer, and why they were cooking. So that part was fun, and we were able to do a little bit. So a little recreation there.
That's good.
And pivot now.
And you mentioned the website, cancersurvivorspark.org, where people can go and look at those videos, I guess.
Yes, they can. There's a CHOP cancer page. Now, in the middle of this pandemic, we had planned to launch a new website. So we did launch a new website last week.
Okay.
It's the same URL. It's cancersurvivorspark.org with an S on the end of survivors.
Survivors is plural, yes. It's an important point. If you leave it out, you won't get to the right place.
That is so true. But we have those videos. If they're not immediately up, I think they should be. I need to go double-check that. But it should be up now. And it's really neat to see the stories of what these people were willing to share, even though they didn't get the fun of cooking. And now we're in the opportunity phase, is what we try to call it, to see, okay, do we want to do this again next year? How do we do it?
Yeah.
And we have a little task force. I would welcome any of your listeners if they're interested. We're looking for a task force, and we've talked to some local restaurants and people to partner with us. How do we do this? Do we do this? Our model was really based on the people cooking on stage,
sure,
and coming up with the recipes. And there have been some other nonprofits in Greenville who've done this successfully. I know the Mills Village Farms community and some restaurants, and they've done a really good job, and it involves the food and delivering it to them. But we've always had a little different model, so we're doing the process of figuring it out.
That kind of leads into to the next thing that I wanted to ask about, which is, other than the CHOP cancer event, what did you want to do? What did you have planned for this year that you weren't able to do because of the pandemic? We talked a little bit about this event happened right at the beginning of when everything started to shut down and get really serious here in South Carolina, in the upstate, and really all across America and in the world. But not knowing, I remember talking with other guests in March and April and May even about the uncertainty of, you know, where is this going? When is this pandemic going to end? When is, you know, what do you see on the horizon? And it's easy now to look back sort of in retrospect and see where we've been. But that uncertainty was there, especially in the early weeks of the pandemic, and not knowing what was coming up must have just been nerve-wracking for you.
It was. That is the single most stressful part to all this, Chris, is that we still don't know. I wish we did. We, for example, with our CHOP cancer, we typically start now to get our chefs, and
sure,
we don't know really what to do and if we should do it for April. So we're starting to look at different alternatives. I think that fear of the unknown is still there. And so with our clientele many times being survivors in treatment or families of, we have to be, of course, cognizant of that and aware. So we are starting to reach out a little bit for different things, sharing of stories online. We have a new campaign, for lack of a better word, that is going to, it's called Pass It Down. And we're getting ready to launch this probably on December 1st. I don't know if you know that is a day called hashtag Giving Tuesday. And many of your local
seems like I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool initiative that years ago was started to combat the Black Friday when everybody would go
right
and spend all that money, right,
right,
on themselves and Christmas or whatever. So the nonprofit community had this opportunity on the Tuesday after Black Friday, and it's always the Tuesday after Black Friday, and this year it's December 1st. And we are going to try to rally support around that day. That's the day that people give back to their community. And so we try to tie it in with an item that they can either purchase or support, maybe for the holidays or for something else, but also gives back. And most of the nonprofits you've talked to probably participate in that, but we are thinking that might be a time to launch an online platform that we're doing in the park called Pass It Down. It's a story platform where people can go to a website and share their story. Are you familiar with crowdsourcing? I've had to learn
yes.
all these new terms.
Yes.
But, yeah. It's a crowdsourcing.
Okay.
And they can upload, they get a link in a site that we haven't launched yet, but we will. And they can upload their cancer story that aligns with what we are calling our healing stations. A plan for the park, which we are executing, which is part of this what's new and coming up in the park, are to have 10 healing stations in the park that will actually be physical monuments like stone pillars, Chris, with maybe we're looking at a QR code as an access
right.
point. Because the good thing about the park, you asked earlier, we did have to close the park down for about 2 months. The city said we had to.
Right.
Just because there were no people could congregate. We slowly opened it back up and have found, oh my gosh, people are in that park. I go to the building, which is closed right now, except for limited appointments when we can have like 5 or 6 people in there because it's not a real big building. And we see hundreds of people on that trail every day because they are social distancing and they're outside. So this Pass It Down program is going to have a QR code on a little monument probably by January, February, and they'll be able to access an online platform where they can share their story. And an example of these healing stations are the power of hope, the power of prayer, the power of compassion, the power of teamwork. You know, how do these augmented processes help in a journey? I mean, certainly in a cancer journey, you've got to have your team, right? You have your medical and surgical oncologist. You have your parents, your friends. And then how do you make yourself better with nutrition and exercise? So we want to be able to offer that in the park. Now, how we tie that into fundraising is what we're trying to figure out now. Would people be willing to share their stories? We want that to be free, though, and open. And we just want everybody to be able to share that. But if they so feel that they would like to donate to our cause, they can do that at the same time.
So how can people get involved, either in any of the – I know you said you were looking for a committee to figure out how to hold events going forward. What are ways that people can get involved?
Well, that is one way. They can email us and say they'd like to be on brainstorming think tank committees. We're doing that. But specifically with the healing stations and the power of hope, prayer, compassion,
right,
there will be a link that we will share that December 1st. That's kind of a launch date. And they can go to that link and upload their stories. And they can literally upload a picture that might be a group of survivors in a support group, or it may be that patient having therapy and with a team around them, and they can upload that photograph and then tell a short story. There's an online, basically it's a PowerPoint, Chris, and they just answer four questions. And they're questions like, how does the power of teamwork help you? And we're hoping that with our promotion of this site and people being able to access it, much like our Survivor Series stories, that people can access this at any time online and be comforted and, supported in their journeys by everybody else sharing their journeys. And it's just all in one website where people can be helpful. So we're very excited about it. Trying to nail down exactly how we can tie a fundraising element to that.
Right.
Sponsors, if there's a cost, because we'd like to share at no cost, of course.
Sure.
And make that helpful way. Another thing we're looking at is local artists have toured our parks recently, and they're wanting to donate pieces of art and do specific images that, a local artist and his wife just toured the park this week with us and said, gosh, he's a survivor. He just came out of therapy.
Wow.
And he said, I want to give back. How can I help you? So there could be some of your listeners that have something like that that I think would be helpful. And this artist is going to create a special piece that then we are going to raffle off or auction off through an online access. And so maybe it's a combination of some of these raffles that we do periodically during the year. And then an exciting, I will say, I know I'm talking a lot, but
no, that's quite
another
right.
thing.
You're the guest. No, you're the one that we want to hear from.
I know. One of the things we want to offer is that, the isolation for cancer patients is horrible. They
yes.
have to have their treatment,
yeah.
and they're having to be very, very careful. And I have a friend who's on our board, and she's in that fight right now. She's lost her hair, and she looks so adorable
yeah.
with her hats. But she's like, I just miss people.
Yeah.
So we had a program that we relaunched last spring called Prevention and Wellness. I don't know if you had seen that, but that is on our website. If you go to our program section on our website, Chris, there's a drop-down button, and there's our first virtual prevention and wellness group that we held a session about 3 weeks ago. It's always going to be the second Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock, and it'll be a virtual program that people can link into 1 hour, and we will talk about ways you can be healthy and connect and maybe feel better or be supported during this time. And then they'll always be on our website in a MP4, video format. People can go back and see it. So,
again, the website, cancersurvivorspark.org, survivorspark.org, cancersurvivorspark.org. And real quickly, before we run out of time, I know that fundraising has been an issue, and certainly I don't think CHOP Cancer was the only fundraising event that you hold throughout the year. I seem to remember you doing something with Bon Secours Wellness Arena and the hockey team. And
Stick It to Cancer. Stick It
yeah,
to Cancer
stick
had
it to
be,
cancer, that's right.
That was so great. I love that thing, the hockey stick, Stick It to Cancer. That had to be canceled. We had a picnic in the park that our friends at Larkin's restaurant group, they did a big picnic in the park for us. That was sad. We even had a radio-related Kick in Cancer concert that the proceeds came to us, where it was country music stars that were involved with cancer stories, and there was a concert held, and that had to be canceled. I mean, that is like four things right there. Oh,
yeah.
And we even had an agave fest that a local beverage company
did.
It was really fun. It was last year. It was so fun, so vibrant. The Hispanic community came out and supported that, and it was all around tequila. And they did, it was agave and the education around the agave flower. Interestingly, Chris, which is a survivor flower, it's been around for a long time, but produces some pretty good tequila, and that was canceled. So we've had a lot of our smaller events that really made up our budget. We're not a very big organization. And granting, grants, the granting process in Greenville, I think it's just down for everybody because it's going, you know, people need food and shelter.
Yeah.
So that's been a little tough. But, yeah, so total, those five events totaled, you know, close to $200,000 for us in revenue, $250,000 if you include some of the smaller ones. And we were able to keep about $90,000 of what we usually make in Shop Cancer, so that was nice. Some of the benevolence of those donors, but just as others that were lost, it's like, what do we do?
Well, I know that for some people who have been moved by your plight, there is a Donate Now button at cancersurvivorspark.org. You can go to that website and click on that button and make whatever donation you're comfortable making. I'm sure every little bit helps.
Oh, every bit helps. And, the memorials that we've had lately have been very humbling. We've had some people, and they choose to celebrate the park if someone has passed, but also if someone is kicking cancer, and we love that. We can offer the little boardwalk plaque on the boardwalk, and that's a $100 plaque, but there's a personalized 4-inch by 6-inch steel plaque that they can claim aboard on the boardwalk. And there's three lines that they can write, if they're honoring, celebrating, whatever they would like within, the acceptance. The city has to approve all those, but certainly people would be appropriate.
Sure.
And that's a neat way to support the park. And then to hold on for this Pass It Down event that'll be announced on December 1st, and then maybe a Top Cancer virtual again in the spring.
We'll see what the committee comes up with.
Exactly. We are looking, and the final thing I will say is we do have a Friends of the Park, which is a membership program.
Okay.
And that is it's under our Support Our Mission tab with the park, and there are all kinds of levels there from $25 and up, where people can receive everything from a bumper sticker to a bench in the park. We still have a couple benches in the park, which are part of our capital campaign, Chris, that we do have our second phase. I think, 75% of our park is private funds, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things in our area are publicly funded, but and we do have a good partnership. We are very grateful to the city of Greenville. They do maintain our park. But our park raised the $8.5 million, our private organization, from, donors here in town, private businesses that just believed in what we were doing. But there are a few things that they can sponsor there as well.
Well,
there are a few benches left. And
again, it speaks to the generosity of the upstate community, which we have discussed on this program numerous times.
Oh, so benevolent. I mean, just the fact that they 99% gave back to this Chop Cancer when they couldn't even come.
Yeah.
We've been so lucky to live in this area.
Such a testament. CancerSurvivorsPark.org. One more time is the website, CancerSurvivorsPark.org. Kay Roper, the Executive Director of the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance, has been my guest today. Thank you so much, Kay, for being here again.
Thank you, Chris, for what you do, for just all of the nonprofits and just the community. We appreciate you. We wouldn't be here without people like you.
Well, it's my pleasure, Kay. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.